It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday, Junkies. Back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company. The Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, September 18th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
What's up? Hello.
And Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
That is The Force. And we're back in the confines of our studios here in Navy Yard, a couple blocks from Nats Park.
It's hard to articulate two things. First of all, how welcoming they were over at Monumental. Yeah. Really nice.
So nice.
And I know, and CK made the point, let's see how they are if you were there like for two straight weeks. You know, they get over you pretty quick. And that's certainly true. But they were really, really nice. The studios, everything were outstanding. Everything that everybody had said. But I got to tell you, it's still more of our comfort zone to do radio in a radio studio versus doing radio in a TV studio.
Of course. Yeah. Of course it is.
And it's hard to articulate to people that don't understand, but that's a television studio designed for television, and it's spectacular. But this is a radio studio.
Right. It was also brand new to us. Like we didn't know where everything was. Right. Everything was like kind of in a different spot.
Right.
Lights are just blaring down, shining down on you throughout.
Do you know what I did upon leaving? I'm such an idiot. I left basically everything I brought at the studio.
What do you mean?
I have a Solheim Cup Stanley that I brought because I didn't know the water situation
get
over
that
there.
Stanley.
Yeah. So I brought that, left it. I didn't know the coffee situation there, so I had my coffee to-go cup, left it.
Left two of those.
Since they had the biggest burritos known to man.
You stuffed a few in your pants?
I did not. I had a half a burrito, so I didn't eat my breakfast that I always make.
Yeah.
And I left that in the Pyrex in the fridge.
Right.
So there's going to be moldy avocado, moldy eggs in the fridge.
That's okay. They'll throw it out. They'll look at it and say, this is gross.
Yeah, but he wants his Pyrex.
I can get a new Pyrex.
Did you text like Frank or somebody and say, hey, because I want Stanley's like $50 probably, right?
Well, it was free from going out to the Solheim Cup for like media day. They gave everyone there. Well,
you should still get it.
I thought about it last night. When I was trying to get a glass of water, and I go, where's my Stanley?
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, I'm such an idiot. Water!
Aren't Stanleys more for women anyway? You're a manly man.
Yeah, I know. It tilts drab that I drink water from a Stanley.
Yeah.
Listen, it doesn't matter, but I do think that's a chick cup.
It's a female accessory.
I mean, he got it at the Solheim Cup. That tells you everything you need to know.
Does it have the Solheim logo?
Yeah, it has the logo on it. And it's red.
You know, it's a good tchotchke from the Solheim Cup.
Do you? You know what I would do, though? I would just change the lid, get rid of that big-ass straw and all of that sexual innuendo, and just put a regular lid on it. And then it looks like a Yeti, which is a little bit more manly.
It's fine.
I'm
going to keep a 24-pack of Dasani's in my fridge. I just have a Brita filter. And I fill up the silly Stanley.
You're good to go.
Yeah. Well,
just go back and pick up your stuff.
The point is that anytime you're out of your element, you're just out of your element.
Right.
And you're going to leave stuff.
He was a little bit shook.
Yeah. Now, I'm happy.
They did roll out the red carpet,
though.
I mean, part of it was, like, they had to let us in the building. So but there was a guy waiting for us, took us on the elevator, brought us up, escorts us to the green room.
Yeah. They were over the top, and God bless them. But they're like, you need more water. Do you need this? Do you need this? I mean, can I get you a bagel? Or what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just unbelievable that way. And I know it was, you know, it's a one and doner. You know, that's not going to happen.
Like, literally every time there was a break in the action, one of the guys who was working in the studio would be like, do you need more coffee? Can I get you? Is there anything we can do for you? I was like, no, I'm good. Thank you. I appreciate your hustle, but I'm good.
Well, it's nice to feel spoiled like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't suggest this because we did talk to them for about 10 minutes afterwards for some other stuff that we might be doing with them. I don't know if they would take it the wrong way. But man, there's got to be a way we can make it more like a radio studio. And I know that's not the point, because they want to show up their studio.
Sure.
But and I was thinking, well, could we just do it from like a couch? But then you can't really put your computers anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of awkward.
Yeah.
The Altcast, they do have that look.
Understood. And that's how I wish that we, if we were to do, you know, once a quarter or whatever, do shows over there, it'd be more like the radio show than like SportsCenter. You know what I mean?
You can take a
you like the microphone
Zach
here.
Leontis.
I don't mind
the headset.
Wearing the headset.
Okay.
I don't mind wearing the headset, but I like to just lounge.
There's something intimidating about those big ass cameras. I mean, these are, you don't even notice these cameras.
Yeah, I disrespect these little cameras.
I'll be honest with you.
I don't even realize we're on TV in here.
Right.
But I know we are, but when you're in that, you know you're on TV. I mean, there's seven guys standing behind the cameras.
Yeah, but I was able to ignore it. That's not what I didn't like, Jason. What I didn't like is just sitting in that chair and feeling like I had to sit there like freaking Chris Berman or something. And I want to. Here's how I want to sit. This is radio.
You want to come back late from the segment?
Yes.
Eat your popcorn.
Yes.
Those are some bright kicks.
Eat your ramen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do radio. not TV.
I don't think you ever really sit like that in radio. In the history of our radio show, I don't remember you ever sitting like that.
Well, you just haven't noticed. my big red kicks are just jumping out at you. Because I'm going to Ithaca, and this is my... I'll wear these to the Cornell match.
That's your Ithaca game? Sometimes. That's your game fit?
This is my game shoes.
Good.
Sometimes. I like to match, Kate. I'm a little matchy-matchy.
I know. You're Mr. Matcher-Matcher over there.
My daughter would say, sometimes I'm a little zesty.
I don't understand that.
I think she's basically accusing me of being homosexual.
That's the new slang.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Got it.
They say I'm a little zesty.
Little light in his loafers, as they used to say.
Right. I would argue that I'm so sloppy most of the time that I don't think I fit that category.
You're wearing the DC United, which is nice, but it's probably 15 years old.
Who cares
sweatshirt.
How old it is?
I know, but I don't think.
It's clean as a whistle.
That would be as zesty as you would think.
Yeah. You joined on the white stripes. I got them all silly.
A little whiter.
There's some Clorox on there. Just bleached them up.
Actually, just washed it. Yeah. Of course. Probably hadn't washed it in 15 years.
I mean, if you put it up against this white piece of paper, how does it fare?
I don't know. I don't know. But
I'm just glad I didn't scurry away from Will Dawkins when he came in and sat down. I actually had a normal human interaction.
He really
with him, which is great.
A good dude.
Super nice. He'll talk to you about anything.
He's so down to earth.
Yeah.
Really is a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, he finally did leave, and he was like, okay, I'm going to get out of here. But he lingered.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
He didn't treat it like it was just like, oh, got to go talk to the Junks for 12 minutes on air. He was actually very cool.
I enjoyed all of
them. Everybody was great.
Mystics ended up losing last night, which was tough.
Yeah.
Just pulling for Eric Tebow, who we met.
Uh-huh. We should have bet the house on the Liberty.
Yep.
Why? Did they cover or
emotional hedge?
They covered huge.
No.
They needed the win.
He was unprepared. He was out of his game day rhythm. He was doing our interview. He was waking up extra.
You think that 15 minutes?
Did you look at the first quarter? They got blown out. They were down by like 15 points.
He was unprepared.
I'm not taking the blame for that.
They were unprepared. He wasn't game ready.
Don't put that on us.
Somebody was trying to text me into betting on the Mystics yesterday.
Right.
I said, I'll never do that. That guy was talking about how this is out of his rhythm. And
You know, Drab's a Mystics hater ever since they didn't draft Angel Reese.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, if the Caps get boat raced in their first preseason game, it's because Carb sat down with us for 15 minutes?
No, on game day.
Oh, on game day. Okay, that's the distinction.
I think the bigger problem is they faced a Liberty team that is 32-7, and the Mystics, despite potentially making the playoffs, are 13-26.
Right.
Right. The Liberty are the best team in the league, and they're much better. Mm-hmm. That's why they won.
They were 13-25 going in, and they were on in the playoffs.
They were tied.
So only 12 teams in the league.
I'll be honest with you. When you kept saying they were in the playoffs, I was thinking, oh man, they must have hovered around 500 pretty good.
Yeah, but we did say
they hovered around 500 after the 0-12 start.
You can't hover around 500 when you go 0-12.
Man, that's pretty good. Start 0-12, and now they're in the playoffs. Like if it ended today, man, they're probably.
But we did say they had to play the Liberty and the Fever, best team in the league and one of the best teams in the league.
It's not that hard to contend for the playoffs when everybody in the league almost makes the playoffs.
And I don't think it's that outside the norm. Washington losing at home. You don't know their home record in 19 games.
Who's? Washington?
Yes. I'll say they're 3-16.
Very close. 4-15.
Yeah.
So
brutal.
I almost burst out laughing. It was then he said, no matter what happens, we have 2 lottery picks. There's only 8 teams in the league. Everything's a lottery pick. The first 2 rounds are damn near lottery picks.
Yeah, what is a lottery pick in WNBA? Top 6?
I don't know. My brain was exploding when he said that.
All I know is it was a long day for him. He was up there with us at 7 a.m. or 7:15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the game tip-off was at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
He was burnt out. He was ready to go home.
Did he take a 90-minute nap in the middle of the day?
Should have bet my entire FanDuel on it.
Do you think they have a couch? I would hope so.
It's fresh for the game.
Where guys drool on the couch and pass out?
I could only hope so.
Yeah.
But look, the Liberty needed that win to clinch the number one seed, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were facing a team, again, that, yes, they were the 8 seed, EB, but they were 13-25 going in.
Man, I
You thought they were 500?
Well, you said they were
500
the
last
playoffs.
25 games or 26 games.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't look at the standings. Usually the playoffs bar is much higher. That's what my brain thought.
It's usually much higher than being several games under 500.
Man, in fact, I've never heard of a 13-25 playoff team in any sport, in any league.
Atlanta Dream would get in. They're 14-25.
Yeah, like as bad as the NBA is, at you know, the bottom is not that bad.
No.
Not like 30%.
Not usually, although now
percentage.
With the 10 teams getting in and the play-in, they'll be
still
sub-500.
Yeah, but not that bad.
No. No, but they only have 12 teams in the league.
You're going tomorrow. Are you going to see Caitlin?
I am. I don't know if I'll see Caitlin Clark.
Did they play last night? I don't think they played last night.
I don't think the family was too thrilled, but Isabella said she would want to go. She actually is aware of who Caitlin Clark is, so I thought it'd be good. I don't know if the wifey's coming.
She might
got
be
too
out
much going
she
on.
She might be bailing.
Well, the only reason you're going is because of Caitlin.
Yeah, and somebody offered, and I was
all right,
like,
well, what if they announced said, today, sure. What if the Fever say Caitlin's going to sit out? You going?
Dicey. Yeah. I feel bad because I can't I should know the name. It was a listener who reached out to us and said, would you ever want Nats tickets or Mystics tickets? And then she pointed out Caitlin Clark's coming. And I said, sure. And then she said, okay, I'll put in a food order.
Right.
So I think it's sweet.
Ah, very good. Look at you. Fancy.
But now you got to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Food.
Exactly. I feel obligated to go.
He's regret. I see the regret on his face.
Buyer's remorse. Even though I didn't buy anything.
Yeah. Do you ever think, I'm being honest with you. Do you ever think about the ramifications of your decision, because I feel like you make flippant decisions a lot.
No, but I mean, it's going to it's in the big picture. I would like to expose my daughter to see a Caitlin Clark.
All right, big picture, sure. But like, are you thinking in the moment? All right, that's going to require me actually going. Actually,
yeah, but I like going
down
to events. I'm going to Jelly Roll on Saturday.
I feel like you're just in another one you're regretting. I think you just instinctively say these things, but you don't punt. Like, at least with Jason, the single.
Calculated.
These might be 2 most opposite people ever. The most calculated ever, most flippant. Right?
I mean, it's somewhat calculated.
They're definitely different.
It's somewhat calculated. Look, Jelly Roll is a family thing. My sister-in-law really wanted to go, and that's somewhat calculated in that I reached out to JVS like 2 months ago about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going.
Yeah, but you
Jason must would hate this though, because I'm going to go Thursday to Caitlin Clark, Saturday to Jelly Roll, and then the next Saturday to Sebastian Maniscalco.
You might just cut your head off. That's too much running around.
That's a lot. That's a lot of activity.
Yeah,
that's too much activity on the weekend.
But those are fun events.
To you,
none of them sound.
That's
that
why
fun.
We're different.
You're a big Jelly Roll guy.
He's overexposed.
Yes. I couldn't go see Jelly Roll.
I'll be honest
Roll,
with
sorry.
You. I love Jelly Roll's talent. Overexposed.
I would need $1,000 to go see
it.
Jelly Roll. Somebody would need to pay me $1,000 to go start to finish.
Well, you have a different concert you're going
like
to on Saturday night.
I love going to HF
Festival. Like a soul singer, man. Comes from the soul.
It's great. I'm glad he's a huge success. I'm just saying, for me to go and sit in the arena and watch him sing every song,
$1,000. Well, it would take $1 billion to send me to an Iron Maiden. So,
okay, well, I mean, you would $1 billion. First of all, you'd be entertained. You'd be like, "Wow, these guys are good. They're all in their like mid to late 60s, and I have $1 billion."
Yeah, you know? I would do it for $1 billion. Yeah. The other part, I'm not sure I would come to that same conclusion.
All right, got to take a break. We got a packed show today. It's Game Show Wednesday. Bunch of prizes to give away. We've got the $50 gift card to Wendy's, tickets to Caps 50 Fest, and more. We'll do that coming up at 9:30. Also on the show today, Mike Jones, NFL columnist for The Athletic, will join us at 7.
Three
we'll
mics.
Get into,
we got three mics on the show.
We'll get into Commanders Commanders against the Bengals with Mike Jones.
Yes.
We have Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock, Nats GM, and Mike Loxley.
Can't be a guest today unless
Terps
your name's
coach
Mike.
At 9:45. We got to look for who else can we get? Last minute, get another mic.
I mean, I don't know. We
get Jason, get Mike Bray.
Yeah. Mike DeCourcy.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we're good with three mics.
We got three mics. It's all right here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
Coming up. Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL match up like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Up at 7 o'clock, we'll hit the Skins, talk to Mike Jones, NFL columnist for The Athletic, about the Commanders. But right now, we'll open up the Junkie Sports page, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator. You can find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
I guess Twitter was reacting, or maybe overreacting, to the midfield meetup between Caleb Williams and C.J. Stroud after their game. And it wasn't very long. It was, I don't know, 45 seconds.
Pretty brief.
It was brief. I don't think Caleb Williams was blowing him off.
He looked down because they just lost the game, and he had the ball in his hands on a potential game-winning drive.
Yeah.
He had a completion, I think, on the first pass, and then he proceeded to get crushed.
I'm sure Caleb's not happy because of the way the season has started for him and the team.
Hasn't gone great.
And C.J. Stroud, you know, he's only in his second year, but he's, you know, they know each other.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the audio from midfield.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, keep going. Stop taking those hits.
Yeah. I know,
hey. Yeah. Learn from those mistakes. And everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
When he says, look, come here, that's if you watch the video, Caleb is pulling away from him. Because, look, he thought the conversation
was over.
Like, he just lost the game. He just wants to go to the locker room, get changed, get on the bus, go get to the plane. Like, he just wants to get out of there. Like, I don't think he was trying to be disrespectful, but you could kind of take it that way because
that's how you take it.
Like the first 5 or 6 seconds, like he's fine with it just being that, and then he kind of has to be, I don't know, coerced is the right word, but kind of like almost forced to stay there and listen to the next 10 seconds from CJ Stroud. He just wants to bolt.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's personal against CJ Stroud. Look, he's a competitor. He lost the game. He just doesn't want to be there anymore, is the way I kind of took it.
He didn't just lose a game. He got physically pummeled.
He's getting manhandled
in that game. Mm-hmm.
That offensive line is kinda in shambles.
And he's probably thinking to himself, man, this team blows.
Right.
And it's going to be a long season. Mm-hmm. I thought that I had him in my bold predictions for 35 touchdowns. I thought he was going to take the league by storm.
Yeah.
Very hasn't happy. Happened early. Some perspective, though. C.J. Stroud, in his first two games last year, started off 0-2, was sacked 11 times in his first two NFL starts, and then things started to click. His next three starts, he had 5 touchdown passes and wasn't sacked at all.
Well, my bold prediction was Bryce Young's would be comeback player of the year.
That's
as bold as you can go.
That's spicy bold.
He's been benched after 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
So that ain't going to happen. Yeah.
I don't know if he has it queued up, but Mel Kiper had a rant about it.
Yeah.
And it did make me think, look, I'm usually quick to bail on guys. I want to see a flash early. Mm-hmm. And Bryce Young hasn't really done that. But Mel Kiper went on this whole diatribe about how teams don't set up guys for success. And he didn't play in the preseason. I think he had one series in the preseason.
I think it's mishandled is the word, because when you drafted Bryce Young, you knew he was an outlier. You know, Russell Wilson was bigger, right? Taller, but only 5'10 and 3/4. That opened it up for the 5'10 quarterback. But Russell Wilson was 205, 208 coming out, not 180. Okay, Kyler Murray, because of Russell Wilson, became the number one pick overall. Different body type than Bryce Young. So you knew Bryce Young, not only short, but small, diminutive quarterback, needed help, right? Also, continuity. You draft a quarterback. Everybody said he's got this great infrastructure in Carolina around him, right? With the head coach, the coordinator, the quarterback coach. Everything's there. The senior assistant. Everything's in place. And then you see him beat C.J. Stroud on the field as a rookie, right? You take out the 3 games he threw multiple interceptions, he was 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 3 picks, okay? Had some decent games last year, okay? But then you go into this year, you change everything because C.J. Stroud's doing so well in Houston. We got to destroy this thing. We got to blow it up and start over because, C.J. Stroud's doing so great in Houston. These coaches aren't getting it done. So we bring in an offensive coach who was with Baker and others, right? Bring in a new pass game coordinator, new quarterback coach for Bryce Young. Then we don't play him in the preseason. We play him one series in the final preseason game against the AOGs. None of those guys are playing for Buffalo, by the way. They went one series down the field. They're rah-rah. Great, we got it. We accomplished everything we wanted to. I'll give you a little note. C.J. Stroud played in 2 preseason games this year. Okay, he played 4. Derek Carr played in 2 preseason games. Why? Because Clint Kubiak was coming in with a new offense, and Derek Carr is a veteran, played in 2 preseason games. Bryce Young played 1 series of a final preseason game against the nobodies on defense for the Buffalo Bills. Does that make sense to you? When in 2 games in, we're saying he can't play. Yes, his confidence was shattered, right? Yes, he does need to sit behind Andy Dalton for a little bit. But the blame this on Bryce Young is ridiculous. This is the blame here goes to the organization, the owner, for a mishandling.
I actually buy some of that.
Ryan Leaf agrees. He was talking to TMZ yesterday, and he said that they screwed this thing up from the start. This organization's horrible, he says. This organization has done nothing to try and help and develop a player that has so much expectation. And I laid this at the feet of the organization completely. And when you watch Bryce Young on the sidelines, on the bench.
Is his body language terrible?
After he comes off the field, man. Especially against the Saints, where they were getting pummeled the entire game.
You can imagine his confidence being shattered there.
He doesn't look like he's got 1 ounce of confidence.
And here's the thing. He didn't just all of a sudden become untalented.
He looks like he knows he's going to throw picks when he goes back out there.
I mean, for whatever reason, a lot of this, we've said it a million times, is fit and circumstance and players around you and everything. It's not like he doesn't. But if he was in a different situation, he could have a totally different outcome. He is small. He is undersized. But he was that way at Alabama and found success. There have been small guys that have found success in this league.
Not a lot of small guys have found. They're mostly outliers.
Okay.
There's a few Drew Breeses and Doug Flutie's back in the day sprinkled around and Russell Wilson's. But,
sure.
I mean, Kyler. Most quarterbacks are not sub 6 foot that succeed in the league.
Fair.
But Kyler's different because he can actually take off and run. Bryce Young cannot.
I just don't think it's like Bryce Young just sucks, doesn't have a skill set that could be successful. He wouldn't have gone 1-1 if these guys didn't see a skill set that they thought would be successful. And I don't think they're the only team that would have taken. They may not. Everyone else may have taken C.J. Stroud, although I think that's a little bit of revisionist history too. I think there are other teams that would have taken him very, very high in the first round. He just, I agree, the organization is doing him no favors.
Well, we all know the organization's terrible. It's based on the owner.
They're in chaos.
They're on the second coaching staff. So they sit him. You know, they play the Raiders in Las Vegas this weekend. So Dalton will go there. You know, probably going to lose that game. It'll be 0-3. And then I think they come back home, play the Bengals, probably 0-4. And then we'll see if they decide to go back.
But it sets them back so far because of all of the draft capital and players that they gave up in the deal to move up and draft him at number one.
Unless he somehow turns into a bona fide legitimate quarterback sometime this year, they're screwed.
Just remember, they sent DJ Moore, two first rounders, two second rounders, and a fourth round pick to the Bears, and also a second round pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
Oh, they gave up so much,
I mean, that's just disastrous. That sets you back probably 5 years to a decade.
All right, so we talked about the injuries yesterday. No surprise, the Dolphins put two on IR. Going to miss four games, probably more. Skylar Thompson will start this weekend.
In Seattle, correct?
They are.
That's going to be a tough one.
They're in Seattle. Picks.
Just want to go
the
back.
The number right now, 4.5 and 41.5.
Yeah.
Just want to go back to the Bryce Young situation because I'm sitting here pondering it, thinking of situations. You called it Sam Darnold, that he would, in Minnesota, be successful because of the offense. That if you put Bryce Young in Minnesota, I believe he'd be markedly more successful. Markedly more successful.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'll just generally fade 5'10", 180-pound quarterbacks in the NFL. College, they can succeed. Pros, it takes a little bit more.
Are we off the adage that if you just draft your franchise quarterback, then everything will be gravy? Now there needs to be the perfect storm of setting them up for success.
I've been off that forever because
I'm just saying a lot of fans out there just think, oh, we just gotta pick the right guy.
I think it's a combination.
We'll be fine.
It's pick the right guy. I'm gonna tell you this, we all know sometimes we get into our arguments and we dig in. I haven't looked back, but I'm going to guess that Mel Kiper backed Bryce Young being the number one pick. So he has belief in Bryce Young. So it's going to be harder for him to accept that Bryce Young just isn't going to succeed at this level. You can posit that maybe he'd be successful in Minnesota. It's unknown. I don't know that he would have been successful.
I think Sam Darnold's a great example.
I don't know if he would have been successful.
Well, it's early on Sam Darnold, too.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd been successful.
Started out okay.
Let's say if he was with the Houston Texans. Let's say it was flip-flopped.
I don't know.
Do you think that Bryce Young would have had the same success that
maybe
C.J. Stroud
had? Maybe C.J. Stroud is better, but I don't know why he couldn't maybe be successful in San Francisco. Like, put him in the right situation some of these other guys have, he'd be more successful.
It definitely helps. Look, there was a stat going around. Brock Purdy gets a lot of praise, but in his first 25 starts, I might be wrong on the stat. I think his record is 18-5 or something like that. I guess it's 23 starts. And Jimmy G's had the exact same record.
Right, and I love Brock Purdy. But if you put Brock in Carolina, I mean, it would still be a poop show.
Yeah. Well, let's also
believe that. I like Brock Purdy.
Well, especially last year because Carolina's offensive talent around Bryce Young was the worst in the league.
Well, let's also see what Purdy does with CMC out for extended time. Debo out now for a few weeks.
Yeah. Like, well, he's got the added benefit of Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan schemes guys open.
Right.
So I would bet on Purdy.
I think we're learning that it's not always up to the guy that you draft.
Right.
Well, I've always known that. There are guys that are super talented and the fit sometimes it doesn't work.
And the ecosystem and the infrastructure around them is
definitely
important.
It's a huge factor. Honestly, it might be more important.
Of course.
I don't agree with that. I think the player is the most important. I think Andrew Luck, when you have somebody like Andrew Luck, he's going to be successful wherever he goes. Okay. Can the ecosystem help him? Of course.
Yeah, but you're talking about the best of the best of the best.
Well,
but
Bryce Young.
For regular people.
Bryce Young was the number one pick, and Jason brings it up all the time.
Yeah, but nobody thought Bryce Young was Andrew Luck.
Half of these guys bust that are drafted in the first round. And I don't think it's because the team always.
If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Panthers, how many games do they win?
Probably 7 or 8.
I would guess more than with Bryce Young at the helm.
They would win more, but he's one of the best.
Correct.
But if you take some of these other guys.
But they're not winning Super Bowls.
Not yet.
Not with this roster.
I don't know how you could. I don't see it.
He's not.
Yeah. I just don't
He's
think,
a better quarterback, of course.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to lead them to way more
but
wins.
But if you put Patrick Mahomes on the Panthers in his rookie year, where Mahomes didn't even play,
mm-hmm.
how many games are they winning?
Couple.
I don't know. Four, maybe. I don't know. Five.
But I think ultimately,
in his fifth, but I think sixth
ultimately,
year, okay,
my belief is ultimately Patrick Mahomes would still become Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll never know.
The stars have to align.
Never know.
I'm not sure Tom Brady would have been Tom Brady in other situations. 100%.
I do.
Yeah.
And Mahomes also had Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
You take away Gronk. Yeah. You take away that system.
Take away Gronk. You didn't have Gronk in the early years.
All right, speaking of the Chiefs, they went out and signed Kareem Hunt to their practice squad. So maybe they'll elevate him because they obviously need an RB.
We've got a lot of moving parts in that backfield now. Carson Steele, the fullback, looks like he'll get some carries. Samaje Perine is a guy that they picked up a few weeks ago, probably a third down back.
Looks like Justin Fields is going to go again in week 3. They play at home against the Chargers, both 2-0. So one of those teams will be 3-0. Graham Gano goes on the IR, not surprised.
What's the under on the Chargers-Steelers game? I just feel like those teams are just going to slug it out.
I guess it's high 30s.
17-10 type game.
Slow, 35 and a hook.
30, that's a really low total.
Yes. I picked up the Chargers defense in fantasy. So far, so good.
Well, I mean, anybody that's facing the Panthers with Bryce Young at the helm, that's a team you want to target. But now Andy Dalton.
Yeah, he said the Chargers,
right? Yeah, because they faced the Panthers last week.
Right, Chargers are playing the Steelers this week.
Right.
Baseball last night. All right, just kind of running down some of the key games. Orioles got blowed out 10-0. Blake Snell beat them. He's now 4-3 with a 3.3 ERA. And so the Orioles are now 4 back of the Yankees because the Yankees won big in Seattle. Juan Soto hit his 40th. Aaron Judge drove in a couple, I think, 3 or 4 RBIs. I think he's got close to 130. So 4-game lead now for the Yankees over the Orioles for the division. So that looks like that's done. Orioles still the top wild card. They would open up against Kansas City if the playoffs started today. Kansas City lost to the Tigers, who are trying to make it interesting. They beat the Royals last night 3-1. They're just a game and a half back of the Twins for the third wild card. Mets Braves. Mets beat the Nats big 10-1. 14 hits for the Mets. Mitchell Parker got the loss 7-10 with a 4.5 ERA. So the Mets now have a 2-game lead on the Braves for the wild card because the Braves blew a 5-1 lead in Cincinnati. Shohei Ohtani hit number 48 last night.
How many games does he have left? Needs 2 and 2.
Probably 11-ish.
Yeah. I think he's going to get it.
I think he's going to be a 50-50 guy.
That's unbelievable.
I have to look at the...
What's his stolen base percentage? Like, is he, like, pretty super successful? He must be to be up there. Like...
Oh, probably.
Is he like 80%? I don't even know what a good percentage would be.
He's probably very good. Yeah. I mean, it's easier to steal bases.
I mean, it's not Ricky Henderson, but...
No,
the fact that he's got 48 shows you how good he is.
He's big. He's long. The bases are a little bit bigger. They obviously have the new rule where you can't throw over more than twice.
Maybe he's only been caught stealing 4 times.
It's basically 90%.
I mean,
48 steals.
That seems crazy. Sick percentage.
Only caught 4 times.
Well, I think it speaks to what Jason said. It's just a little bit easier to steal bases now.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to mention this yesterday. Patrick Corbin has been on a heater, and it has continued, right? He pitched very well the other day.
Not interested.
EB.
See ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
4-2 in August and September.
It's over, Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, JP's trying to do that.
Are you bringing this up?
He's trying to resign him.
It's just curious.
He just wants to resign him.
No, I don't want to resign him. But it's amazing that he's pitched as well as he has the last couple months. After years of struggling.
Yeah.
It's like he found something the last 2 months.
Well, I think Rizzo said he's kind of, maybe it took him a while, finally giving up on the concept of trying to be sort of a power pitcher. And he's just pitching more creatively now, changing speeds a lot more often. Maybe he's found a little formula.
He,
took a long time.
In the month of August, he was, again, he was probably, that's the best he's pitched in a while. Mm-hmm. He had five starts. His ERA was 3.7 in August. Yeah. September, remember, he did give up 10 runs against Pittsburgh.
Yes.
A couple starts ago, but
that's all right.
For the most part, if you look at his last, I don't know, eight starts, he's only had one really bad start.
Every once in a while, even Scotty Scheffler shanks one.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while.
But he's not part of their future.
Speaking of Scotty Scheffler, coming up next, Liv and the PGA Tour trying to get back together. What is the hurdle? So I did a little reading on this yesterday. You guys can fill me in more that follow golf, but apparently Liv and the PGA Tour, they're trying to essentially get back together and find a common ground.
Well, they've been for a long time.
The hang up is some of the guys, including, I believe, Tiger Woods, that are on the PGA Tour, believe that the Liv guys, who got huge bags, as they say, they got $300 million, $600 million, whatever they got, should return it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, right. I'm so sure that's going to happen.
Good luck with that, buddy.
Well, the PGA Tour players want the Liv players to possibly pay fines if they want to come back and play PGA Tour events in North America.
Now, that might be something.
But those players are saying, I ain't paying fines.
Might be something more negotiable than paying back.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way John Rahm's giving back what he made from Liv.
John Rahm, just in prize money, they just released it in the last 24 hours. He made, just in prize money this year, made $35 million.
Yeah, he made
prize money.
On top of the
he made 22 just in the last event.
Right. Yeah. And what they reportedly give him $600 million? I mean, something along those lines.
Yeah.
He ain't giving a penny of that.
No.
Back. Trust me, he doesn't miss the PGA Tour. All John Rahm wants is to play in the Ryder Cup, and that's what they're trying to figure out. I do think that the Liv PGA thing will eventually coexist in a more harmonious manner. But I don't think these guys, Brooks Koepka ain't giving them $100 million back. I mean, it just is never going to happen.
I mean, that's an insane
pitch.
It's
just never going to happen. I mean, I could even actually see them fining Koepka and then Liv paying the fine so that the guys could get world ranking points again and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. But these guys, I don't see them writing checks to pay the PGA.
I think they're just going to keep meeting, and there's going to be a sticking point, and it's going to be obviously the money, all the money that these guys got paid.
Right.
Especially the big dollar guys.
Right.
And they're not giving it back. I mean, I wouldn't.
No, you're not going to give a penny no, back.
Of course not.
Not a penny of it back.
I've gotten used to it. I mean, Jason, you like to watch these tournaments every weekend.
Yeah.
I think initially there was a thought that they would suffer, and maybe they have suffered because they don't have Dustin Johnson playing. They don't have Brooks Koepka playing on the weekends, but you're still watching.
Yeah, but I'm
a nerd.
Yeah, they've already got him.
Have they suffered?
Hooked.
Well, their ratings are certainly down from like when Tiger was in his peak.
And nobody's really watching Liv, right?
Nobody really. They don't have numbers.
I mean, I've never gotten into Liv. Gotten into Liv.
I definitely watch it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I've watched more this year than I did the year before.
But most people aren't even aware when they have a tournament and who wins the tournament.
Look, I'm raising my hand.
That's true.
So
I mostly monitor it because just for certain guys, like I want to see what Anthony Kim's doing. I'm just fascinated by that story, that return.
I mean, the President's Cup is in 2 weeks. I was more into the Solheim Cup than I would be for the President's Cup.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into the President's Cup
in a long time.
I've never really been into that event.
It was cool when they occasionally have it at RTJ.
But I was into the Solheim.
Yeah, I don't know why. They Solheim got a lot of run this year. It seemed like more than ever.
I was probably into it more just because it was local.
It was in your backyard.
I played that course. I went out there Wednesday for the practice round. But I was just really into the storylines. And President's Cup, Ryder Cup, I love. President's Cup, I'm not into it this
year. You haven't been into the President's Cup when they're at RTJ?
I went that one year. It's been there, four times?
Been there a bunch.
I went 1 year, but no, I don't think so.
Valdez, when is the next Liv Golf event? Can you tell me?
Next year. Season's over.
Apparently, they have the team championship at Dallas, September 20th through the 22nd.
I didn't know but the season concluded in Chicago this past weekend.
Mm. And how many teams qualify for the team championship? They're really pushing the team bit. They push it so hard.
You would have to ask Valdez.
Yeah, They really push it.
Who and, I noticed, by the way, did get rid of his blue hair for the field trip to Monumental Sports.
I brought my blue hair with me, and then no one seemed to care. So I just didn't put it.
I think that was the right move, because if you walk into Monumental Sports Network with blue hair,
that's making a big
people
statement.
Are like, what's going on
that's
here?
That's making a big
hey,
statement.
Hey, Zach Leontis.
I mean,
like my blue hair?
You're meeting important, powerful people.
I mean, hey, by the way, I was in
that would have been funny on camera,
guys.
Though.
God bless JP, but he kept talking about how he was born into wealth. Oh my God, I wanted to shrivel up and die. You know, and he did say, "Well, I appreciate that," because JP said the greater point. I know JP didn't mean ill by it. Was that he was a hard worker and a grinder?
Sure.
Yeah, he could have kicked his. Yeah, he could have kicked his feet
I
up.
I understand
and,
the greater point, but he kept telling him. What a man of wealth he was.
Yeah, Zach, what's it like being born on third base?
Silver spoon. And I literally wanted to shrivel up and die.
It was kind of awkward.
I was butt uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask something different than the questions that were just talk
you
about
think
the studios.
Something different other than just harping on the fact just that
going
you're obsessed
deeper.
With his birthright. You know,
I'm actually not obsessed with his wealth. It was a compliment towards his work ethic and what he's made
of
himself.
And I know, but
the way it came out, it was uncomfortable.
I was so
because when you tell someone that they have an advantage over other people, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets very uncomfortable on the air.
Yeah. Everyone knows. Wanted to shrivel. Could you find the audio?
It gets very uncomfortable on the air.
I wanted to shrivel up and die. I'm like, why?
I'm trying to make a good impression.
He likes the awkward.
I know, but the thing is, he wasn't trying to be awkward.
Right.
He was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
That this guy works hard. I'm just blown away by your work ethic and your accomplishments.
I'm sorry I didn't ask a question about the lighting or the cameras. I know they wanted us to tee him up on that stuff, but eventually, let's move beyond it.
Okay, but don't talk about a guy being born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean, did you feel that way?
I, of course, yeah. I feel like there's maybe another way he could ask that question.
I'll give you that.
Just don't even say that. Just say, I'm just impressed with your drive, man. You're just a driven dude.
Yeah.
Okay. You can Monday morning quarterback the question.
Oh, no. I was Tuesday morning questioning it. I was questioning it live.
You should have said something then during the interview.
Why didn't you make it
You should have said, you know what?
He handled it very gracefully, you know, and I'm not going to, you know.
Well,
I didn't want to highlight it. But it kept coming back up. Hey, I felt like it came up like three or four times.
I know sometimes there are going to be awkward questions, much like I brought up the Ovi thing with Carberry, but I think it's for the greater good.
That was fine. Calling Ovi chubby, I got no problem with that.
Doing that for 20 years.
Yeah,
but
no
he looked uncomfortable at first.
Sure.
Okay.
He didn't know how to answer it.
I mean, that's different than saying a guy, you've been born into this spectacular wealth that no one else can relate to.
We had to hammer Ovi on his birthday. I mean, he was 39 yesterday.
It was good. I'm glad that you recognize it. Even Carl
Valdez whispered in my ear, it's Ovi's birthday. I was like, oh, cool. Very good.
Right. All right. I was just wondering if I was the only one that noticed that.
Hey, a couple people tweeted us yesterday. And we had sent, you know, by the way, thank you to Drab and Mike Marr. We're doing a lot of social media posting on our behalf.
Yeah.
And they put up pictures of us on the cool new set. Mm-hmm. And somebody said they wanted to see a side-by-side of our first show, the BCTV show, and then the studios yesterday, which has come a long way. And when I did that, I ended up going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks, and I changed the profile picture. And I didn't realize how many people would respond to it. I changed it to the old 106.7 The Fan promo shot.
I hate that picture.
Oh, that's the under.
Wait, facial
hair.
That's
where we tried to look hard.
Big face.
No. We just did what the photographer told us to do.
Of course.
We didn't have any
Cakes
ideas.
Cakes and I smiled.
God, I look obese there.
Horrible. I just
put it up on our Instagram page, Sports Junkies Radio. You can see, but a lot of people were saying,
fat my neck.
Wannabe Beastie Boys. but that was kind of the era where I think that was what they were shooting for. They wanted us to look like a rock band.
Yeah. Well, that guy does, because he's a rock photographer. He does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But he shoots a lot of rock bands, so I think that's where he was coming from.
I posted it on our Instagram, Sports Junkies Radio. You can see it.
On.
But I was surprised by how many responses.
What year was that?
I would say about 2007. It's when 106.7 The Fan debuted in what year? 2006?
Can't remember.
2007.
What is our name on the Instagram? Sports Junkies Radio, is that what it is? Okay. Because they're all different. I know Valdez has the audio. Go ahead, Valdez. Oh my God!
Look, we grew up in nice middle class neighborhood, you know, neighborhoods, good middle class families, and we always imagine, well, what if we were born into like wealth? Maybe you would be lazy. You obviously are not. You're a grinder. Thanks. You want
to
work.
Nice of you to say. I do appreciate that.
What a nice guy. So nice. I'm
cringing right here. I'm literally cringing. You're born at what would it be like?
Yeah.
To be born into the son of a billionaire.
Yeah, you were riding around on a train like Ricky Schroeder and Silver Spoons back in the day.
I was trying to junkify it up a little bit.
I know.
Have some fun.
I know what you're trying, but it's awkward.
All right.
Yeah.
You can play it safe. I went with that.
Listen, no one would accuse me of playing this game safe. Nobody.
I think EB didn't play it safe. He asked Zach how he takes it when we criticize his teams.
Yeah.
And I'm just that curious. Was
yeah. Did CK appreciate that? I don't know.
That's fine. I thought it was a good question.
The people up in the spaceship where I was in the production room said, well, that's a great question.
Really?
Look at that. Yeah, they said that.
Very good. I mean, because everyone's being butt nice, and then when they're 12 and 60.
Yeah, you didn't ask, was your rattle gold or silver?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Coming up next, we've got Mike Jones. We will hit the Skins, talk some Commanders. Go around the NFL here on the Junkies.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.